Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
My name is Greg. I am thrilled you're here. Are you thrilled you're here? Good. That's good. Well, we're getting there, okay? The thoughts are coming together, and I'm also turning in my Bible to 1 John chapter 5, if you want to turn there. It's somewhere near the end, close to, oh, there we are, 2 John, gone. If you hit 2 John, you're lucky, because it's less than a page. That's like, holy smokes, how did you get there? You've gone one page too far, just flip back. We're kicking off a new series called Devotion this week. Who loves our message series in church? We have a lot of fun, don't we? That's good. Devotion. So the premise of this is that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he was devoted to the cross. That was his purpose. He was convinced that this is something that I need to do. He was so focused on his love for humanity, his love for you and I, that he was committed to die in a way that was shameful, that was painful, and that was probably like one of the worst possible ways that somebody could die. He was devoted to it and committed to it out of love for us. And so in response to that, we as people, you and I, ought to be devoted to and committed to him. In response to this message of love that God was devoted to the cross, we have a responsibility to live devoted lives to the cross, devoted to him, devoted to making his name famous, devoted to continuing to build our relationship with him. But the hope is that over the next few weeks, over the next messages, the sermon from Pastor Jerry preaching at the West Campus. Who loves the West? That's all right. I know you love the East more. That's all right. Yeah, that's why you're here. But Pastor Jerry's preaching at West, all three services. He is killing it. I know. You're going to want to listen to the podcast tomorrow. But over this next little bit, the hope is that you would have a bit of an answer of how am I meant to walk out this life of devotion? What does devotion to God really look like? What habits in me need to change? What attitudes in me need to change? How can I become more like this embodiment of love that was Jesus? I'm going to answer all that today, and you're going to leave feeling blessed. No, not really. Let me pray before we come around the word. Father, I thank you that you're here. I thank you that you're awesome. I thank you so much that you love us, and that you teach us what it means to be madly in love with you. I pray that your Holy Spirit, who is love, would show up for some people today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. As I prepared today, I was thinking about my life, and I was thinking about your life. And I don't know about you, but I don't know if you've ever been in a season where things feel a little bit dry with God. Maybe you're in this season right now. I don't know if you've been in a season where it's like, I read verse after verse, chapter after chapter, book after book, but nothing seems to be coming alive to me in this thing called the living word. Like, I had a season in my life where it's like, no matter what verse I would read, it would be like jumping out of the page. Like, we split the dove in what way? How are we? But you've gone through seasons where it's like the passion and the fervency and the devotion was so evidently there. But then you're in a season where it's like nothing seems to be speaking to me. Like, I'm praying to God, and I'm wondering, is God even hearing my prayers right now? Is God? I hear about a God on Sunday who cares about my life, but then on Monday I wake up for work and I don't feel like God cares about my life. Maybe I'm being too real for you, that I have been through these seasons, and maybe you're going through this season right now. Maybe you've gone through it in the past and you don't even know how the heck you got through it. But today, I want you to be free from that. I want you to have answers and tools that will help you walk out a life in devotion to God. Because what happens is, as the longer that this season drags on, because it tends to do that, right? It's not just like a 1 week thing. It's like a several week thing sometimes. But the longer that it drags on, the more frustrating it gets. The more grievous it gets. The more it feels like there's this weight that's being pushed on me. And like I read the Bible and instead of feeling lifted up, I feel like a weight is on me because I'm so frustrated that it's not coming alive the way that I know it should come alive. And I'm so annoyed that it's not jumping out and changing my world the way that I know it should jump out and change my world. But I want to free you today from that sense of heaviness, from that sense of frustration and hopelessness. From that sense of, I'm not getting the answers from God that I need to get from God. Today you're going to be free in the name of Jesus. So 1 John chapter 5, who brought their Bibles to church today? There's that heavy feeling that rests. The conviction is the pastor's like, who brought your real Bible? You're like, oh, heaviness again. Feeling of anxiety again. No, I'm kidding around. I always encourage people, get yourself a paper Bible because it's awesome. It just feels great. Feels nice. Feels nice to hold on to. A little bit nicer than your cell phone. Your cell phone, you might lose. The screen might shatter. I can drop my Bible and it just makes a loud thump and the pages rattle. I drop my cell phone, anxiety goes through the roof because it's like, did the screen break? Did the screen not break? Is everything okay? You don't have to worry about that if you got a paper Bible. So when you get surprised and go, oh, then you just hear a loud thump. You don't have to worry about it. So get yourself a paper Bible because it'll surprise you. I'm just messing with you. Are you with me? 1 John chapter 5. If you're not, I think we've got it up on the screen. And it starts in verse 1. Are we there? Oh, we can. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone who believes. And everyone who loves the Father, loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God. I love that the word love keeps jumping out. Don't you just love it? By loving God and... I love the end. I'm enamored by the end. And carrying out his commands. Hello. This is love for God. This is love for God. That word love is agape. It's like intense affection, intense passion and fervency. This is what passion is for God. This is if you're here today and you're in the middle of frustration, I want to remind you that this is love for God. That our whole journey is around love for God. It's not around how much of the Bible that you could read or memorize. It's not around what time you showed up to serve in church this morning. It's not even around how many people you hosted at your Connect group and you talked about God and it was great. But when they left, you still felt a little bit dry. It's about this is agape for God. This is intense affection for God. Your relationship with God is a relationship of love, not of regulations. This is love for God to obey his commands. Well, there's the regulations. And his commands are not burdensome. That word burdensome can be translated to grievous. It could be translated to weight. And sometimes we feel like I said, that we read the Bible and it puts weight on us. It puts it puts pressure on us. We show up and serve in church, and I feel nothing but pressure. I feel nothing but pain. I feel not, I'm frustrated a little bit in life. I show up on Sunday because when I show up, it's the only thing that relieves me of this pressure and weight that I'm feeling. But I'm here to tell you today that God's commands are not burdensome. That they are not heavy to carry. That they are not meant to bring weight to your life. They're meant to lift weight from your life. Okay? You're going to leave here feeling helped in the name of Jesus. You're going to leave here feeling free in the name of Jesus. You're going to leave here feeling light in the name of Jesus. As we learn about devotion. And I wanted to hone in around what devotion looks like in the sense of love. Just because this verse had the word love a whole bunch of times. And I think that love is devotion. Like if I'm devoted to something, then hopefully I would love that something. Hopefully I'm not just devoted to Vanessa as my wife because I don't believe in divorce or because I don't believe that, like, I believe that it's for life, and so I'm going to continue living this frustrating thing of, it's not like that. It's because I love her so much. I loved her offering message this morning on Proverbs chapter 3. Don't lean on your understanding. Who loves Vanessa Fry? I mean, I love you, babe. I'm devoted to you because I love you. But the first thought around devotion and love is that devotion increases as love is shown in our invite. Love is shown in our invite. This comes around the passage that everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. If you feel like your devotion is dwindling a little bit, I want to ask you, who have you been inviting around your relationship with God? Because I'm telling you, as you invite people along, as you remove the focus from my growth and my journey to somebody else's growth and somebody else's journey, your love will grow. Your sense of devotion will grow. As you realize that everything that I hear on Sunday, everything that I receive in prayer is not just about me, it's about somebody else, then the things keep coming up. Like the truth keeps jumping out because you're no longer going to your Bible just for you. You're going to your Bible for that friend that you know desperately needs it. For that family member that you know needs this truth that's in here. And you're digging and you're like, it's coming alive to me again because it's no longer about you. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus said to his believers as he was going back up to heaven, he says, don't worry, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all over the world. He didn't just say, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you'll go live an awesome life all for you. He said, you'll be my witnesses all over the world. He promises power, and then he leaves us with responsibility to not just hold on to that power. Say, it's not all for me. It's not all for me. My devotional life is not just for me. And I'm telling you, your devotion will increase as it is shown through your invite. Your love for God will increase as you start to bring people around it. We often want our devotion to increase and then we'll try to invite somebody to church. Like when I'm feeling more passionate about God, then I'll invite all my friends. But I'm telling you, if you invite all your friends, the result will be that you'll become more passionate about it. Because you'll so desperately want it to succeed and you'll so desperately want them to have the feeling that you had whatever it was 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 months ago. You'll want them to have that feeling and you'll find yourself falling in love again. I know because this happened to me in my life. When I first met Jesus in Calgary, I was going to this church with this wonderful girl. Don't worry, it was Vanessa. Not gonna talk about another wonderful lady. And it was awesome. Like as soon as I said yes, this decision to Jesus, this is great. And I started running hard after it. It's like then I was inviting so many people. But over time, that passion and that desire to see other people in this same relationship dwindled down a little bit. And then I don't think that it's coincidental that the words coming alive and jumping out of the pages dwindled down a little bit. Because I started looking to this as what's in it for me instead of what's in it for my... I had this buddy at work. Let's call him Jimmy. His name wasn't really Jimmy. But I would invite him every single week to... Especially when I first met Jesus, I was inviting him every week. I was like, come on, come to church with me. Come to church with me. And I felt the Bible coming alive to me. And then I would tell him what I read in the Bible. And he's like, yeah, that's great. Can we get some work done, please? But I would keep inviting him, and then over time, that invite died down a little bit, and then I would find myself frustrated again. But then one day, he was in the middle of this big circumstance. He went through a tough breakup, and then he came back to me. He's like, hey, are you going to that church thing? I haven't heard you talk about that church thing in a while. Do you still go? I was like, oh, yeah, I still go. Hello? Oh. And it's like this love and this passion and this zeal for God and his church came alive again because somebody else around my world knew that there was an answer for them that I had been a representation of. And so I invited him along, and then he met Jesus, and then he started investing in the local church, and I saw his life changing. And what do you know? It came alive to me again because I realized it's not about me. It's about me helping him with his journey. Say, it's not about me. It's funny. And so Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, Jesus says this statement. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And the picture that I got of this is as we intentionally invest in something, we automatically become intentionally involved in that something. So it's like if you choose to invite someone to church, your passion and your heart and your desire attaches to church. As you invest financially and give, your love abounds more and more in giving because your heart becomes attached to it. The picture that I got is like when you buy a brand new toy. When we bought our buddy Gandalf the Grey that Vanessa mentioned, our car, who's struggling these days. He makes some sounds that make it sound like he's uncomfortable, and it makes me uncomfortable. But when we first got him, it was like, come ride in our car. Check out our sweet new ride. We just put all this cash into this thing, and we're excited about it. We're passionate about it. Would you like to come for a ride? I called him Gandalf because Gandalf says, you shall not pass, and I'm the traffic slayer, baby. Look out. But we get excited about these things that we invest ourselves in, and we expect that we can get excited about God without investing ourselves in him. But you need to invest yourself in him and then allow the devotion and love to increase. You need to invite people around and allow the love and devotion to increase. God just doesn't want to bless us for us. Everything he gives us is for somebody else. If you want devotion to increase, you need to be thinking about others. I also think about like our dog, Riley, sometimes around this. Because when we first got Riley, it was like, this dog could do nothing wrong. You know, it's this fresh thing that's like, we're inviting all our friends around. Come check out Riley. Now when friends come over, we're like, let's hide Riley in the bedroom. We don't want him eating their food off their plate. We don't want him counter surfing, showing off all his tricks. But where was I going with that? I was going somewhere with that. The thing is, then we started to like get excited about his tricks again. Like we'd show people who come now, like he can sit, he can shake a paw, he can roll over. And they love it and they're excited about it. And it makes us love Riley more because we're showing the good things about him. If you invite people in, they notice the good things about God and about church, and it reminds you of the good things about God and about church. So you need to be increasing your love and devotion through your invite. Hello, Easter Sunday is next weekend. Did you know? You need to be inviting people to the Easter production next weekend. It's going to be incredible. This will help you fall in love with God all over again. I promise you, your devotion will increase. Which, that's enough of that. Okay, cool. Point two, devotion increases as love is grown by obedience. This is love for God, to obey his commands, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. I'm telling you, your devotion to God, your love for God will grow as you step out in His word, as you step out in His promise. I'm so convinced that these 66 books full of 1,189 chapters, however, 30-something thousand verses, I don't know all the numbers, but they are for you. And they are for somebody else. And as you step out in these things, your love and passion for these things will grow, because God is faithful to fulfill that which He has promised. And so when you step out on His word and then He shows up for you in some way, you're like, I love that. I want to do more of that. As you, we often think that I need to grow first in my devotion to God and then I'll step out in His word. And so we read, like, I've read the whole Bible in a year, but then I haven't done anything with one verse that I read in the whole year. And you wonder why the passion and fervency is gone. If you read one passage and then you did what that passage was telling you to do, you changed what that passage was telling you to change, I'm telling you it would come alive. I've often found myself reading the Bible, and it's like, this comes against what I'm facing in my circumstance. This doesn't agree with the attitude that I'm currently having. What's in here doesn't align with my thought processes and my ideas. But I'm telling you, there's only one thing that needs to change in that equation. And it's not going to be this, because His word doesn't change. Like, His word endures forever. There's one thing in the equation that needs to change when my life doesn't line up with this life. And the answer is me. As I step out in what's in this, I find love and affection growing for God. This is how it happened for me. I read this passage in James 1, chapter 19 to verse 20, and it said, chapter 1, verse 19 to 20. I'm getting there. My brain's a little bit jumbled. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. All the husbands in the room should really be leaning in right here. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. I read this and it rattled me. So I started to think about, what does this mean? What does this mean? How can I act out on this? And then sure enough, I'm in this meeting. I work in the construction industry, life full of meetings. Oh my goodness, talk about life full of joy, life full of meetings in construction. But I was trying to tell this client of ours that this is a bad decision that you're going to be making. That, and I'm the type of person who, I'm calculated, so I know I'm right. I'm not arrogant, I just know I'm right. This is a bad decision that you're going to be making. And then I got laced in this meeting. This guy like yelled at me. He's like, you're a construction manager. You're supposed to manage the problem. You're supposed to bring me a solution. And I knew I was right, just for the record. But, dear brothers and sisters, everyone should be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to become angry. And so I just sat back and I listened. I sat back and I was like, there's some area in me that needs to grow and needs to change. I have every opportunity to lash out. I have every opportunity to be frustrated. This guy was probably totally wrong for yelling at me in front of all these people, but I need to sit back, slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to become angry. And then after the meeting, this consultant who was sitting in the meeting came up to me. He's like, hey, like, I don't know how you did that, but that was incredible. Like, he had no reason to jump down your throat that way, but you just sat back and it was so mature and so respectful. I don't know how you did it. And I found myself falling in love with God all over again, because I was like, right, You've made me to be an example of the light of God. If I had jumped back at this guy, what would that have proven? It would have proven nothing, but because I chose to act out in obedience to God's word, to be slow to speak and quick to listen, I had an opportunity to fall in love with God all over again. I know that the word matters to God, because the longest book in the Bible, the longest chapter, is Psalm 119, okay? Psalm 119 is 176 verses in it. And out of the 176 verses in Psalm 119, there's words that I often refer back to. This means the word. This means the truth about God. This means words like law, your commands, your precepts, your words, your statutes, your promises. These all basically mean the Bible. Okay, so Psalm 119, I'm telling you, the word and obedience to the word is important to God. The longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses, five of them don't reference one of these words. There's 171 verses in this longest chapter of the Bible that's talking about promises, precepts, statutes, laws, how your laws bring me joy, how they bring me comfort. Let me stay back to your statutes because I know they bring life. Like these things are, this is a whole book in the Bible that's pretty much devoted to obey the Bible. It's telling me it's important to God. Sorry, so one little quick anecdote to tell you, and then I'll land this thing, I promise. So I heard, this is a funny story to read it. There's this guy walking along, he's doing a little hike on the edge of this dangerous cliff, and then all of a sudden he stumbles a little bit, and he trips, and he falls off the cliff, but he grabs this one branch, okay? And he's hanging there off this one branch. Call this guy John, because we're reading from 1 John. Obey his commands. And he's holding on to the branch. And he looks down and he sees unknown. He sees likely death. He sees nothing but uncertainty. And he's like, help me. Help me. Somebody help. I've fallen down the cliff. I need help. And then he hears his voice.
John, I am here.
He's like, who? Who's there?
I'm the Lord. I am here, John.
Oh, Lord. Oh, I'm sorry for all the wrong I've done. I'm sorry. I've been sinful. I've been disobedient. But if you save me in this moment, if you help me in this moment, I'll do everything you asked me to do. I'll quit my life of sin. I'll quit my life that's not bringing you honor and glory. If you just help me out in this moment. And he's like,
I am the Lord, John. Let go of the branch.
Is there anybody else up there that can help me? God asks us to step out in things that seem uncomfortable, that seem frustrating, that seem like they're not going to be the answer that we need. But as we step out in the answers that he tells us to, our love for him grows. I'm going to invite the whole band up for this last thought. Because we can't just read the letter but neglect the author, okay? You can't just obey his precepts but neglect the one who put them all together. Because your life will lead from frustration to frustration instead of glory to glory. And that brings me to my third thought, which is that devotion increases as love is known through experience. True devotion to God comes only from experiencing his love. He is made to be known. He put us together to know him, to love him. And if you've gone through a season where you're not feeling the butterflies, where you're not feeling the emotional attachment to his word, where you're not feeling all these things jump out of the pages, I want to remind you that we love God. That the answer is not in doing everything he told us to do. The answer is reminding yourself, I'm so in love with God. And he's so in love with me. I just need him desperately. If God's love was something that could be explained, then I could teach it to you with cleverly crafted words. If it was something that could be understood, you could probably read a couple of articles, you could read some blogs, you could do enough research, and then you would understand it. But I'm telling you, God's love is only something that could be experienced. And that's why he says, come. That's why he says, come to me, all you who are weary, heavy laden. I will give you rest. God's love is meant to be experienced. Paul prays this prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. And he says this. He says, I keep asking
that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, that he might give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And sometimes we just end that verse there, that he might give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that I could go run my Connect group really well. He might give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation that I could understand all of the Bible, that I could get divine understanding. God, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that I could understand your word deeply. It says that I pray that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you might know him better. I want God to give us that spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we could know him better. So that we could develop intimate relationship with him. So that we could develop intimate love with him. Mankind's purpose is to know God, find freedom, glorify him with our hearts, our mouths, and our actions. We exist as a church to connect people to God, but we exist as people to glorify him. To remind ourselves of how awesome he is. Because he loves us and because we love him. So the band's going to go back into this Father's love song. And I just want to open up the altar. If you want to come down and experience that love, I want to pray for you. I'm going to ask maybe Vanessa to pray for some people. Marie, you can pray for some people. But everyone stand up. We're going to sing this song together.